Hey, hey, welcome to Sunday Messages with Fairmount Friends Church. So glad to have you with us today. You can learn more on our website, fairmountfriends.church, or find our church app on Tithely. Let's go.
Well, hey, church, we know that it's cold outside, but man, it is it's awesome to see you guys here. To brave through it and to be strong and mighty and to attend. We know we've got many online that are attending this morning in the comfort of your own home. We ain't mad at you, but we understand, right? Getting in those PJs. But it's awesome that you're here this morning to worship the Lord and to hear the word of the Lord. And as we move into a new year, here's one of the things that we want to talk about this morning, and hopefully as we're building in the rest of January into February. We want to be a church that has a heart for the Lord, understands the mind of God, that we would move into one of the most fruitful years of not just ministry of a church, but you as a member, as a church, a member of this house, that just a person who loves the Lord, that this would be the most fruitful, impactful year of your life. That is what we're believing. As we talk this morning, we're going to talk about this message called The Life of the Mind. And we just want to kind of hone in on what is going on in our minds, what's the disciplines of our mind, what do we dwell upon, because as a man thinks, so he is. And so we want to just really dive into what is going on inside of our heads and what are the things that we're even maybe putting into memory that we would dwell upon. Everybody, when you were coming in, hopefully got a little piece of paper. Did you get one? If you don't have one, we want to get one to you because we're going to use that. Chris, you didn't get one? Oh, we're out. Okay. So everybody should-ish have one of these pieces of paper. And as we go into this in just a moment, here's what I want you to do. Don't use your phone. Don't cheat. Don't look online. Don't even look at the back of your phone, okay? But here's what I want you to do is I want you from memory to draw the Apple logo, all right? Draw the Apple logo from memory, all right? Go ahead and work on that as I'll dive into the rest of the message and then we'll bring this up. Don't look at your phone. No cheating, all right? There's something that our mind does, and our mind puts some things to memory. If you didn't get a piece of paper and you got a bulletin, do it on there. Our mind puts some things to memory. And if I would start asking you if you even knew some of these songs, would you know the song Bon Jovi, Living on a Prayer? Oh, we're halfway there. Oh, living on a prayer. Take my hand, we'll make it, I swear. Oh, living on a prayer. Living on a prayer. That's how Bon Jovi does it, right? I just want to be a lead screamer in a band. What about like Journey, Don't Stop Believing? Help me with it. Just a small town girl, living in a lonely world. She took the midnight train going anywhere. Just a city boy, born and raised in South Detroit. He took the midnight train going anywhere. Yeah, you got it. Anybody know? This is the Big Bopper speaking. Chantilly lace and a pretty face and a ponytail. Hanging down and a wiggle and a walk and a giggle and a talk loud. Makes the world go round, round, round. There ain't nothing in the world like a big-eyed girl that make me act so funny, make me spend my money, make me feel real loose like a long-necked goose, like a girl. Ow, baby, that's a what I like. And then in the same vein as the Big Bopper is like Eminem. Lose yourself in the music, the moment you own it. You better never let it go. Oh, only get one shot. Do not let this chance to blow. This opportunity comes once in a lifetime. You better. Right? How about that one? Anybody? Not feeling that one. Is that not a Quaker? It's not in the hymnal? That one didn't make the hymnal. What about Annie? It's a hard knock life. For us, it's a hard knock life. For us, instead of treated, we get tricked. Instead of kisses, we get kicked. Right? That was a... This is fun. This is a fun thing. How about look at this stuff? Isn't it neat? Wouldn't you think my collection's complete? Wouldn't you think I'm the girl who has everything? Look at this trove, treasures untold. How many caverns can one cavern hold? Looking around here, you'd think.
Sure.
She's got everything. I've got gadgets and gizmos aplenty. No, I'm just kidding. How about,
I see trees of green and red roses too. I see them bloom from me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Yeah, I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Oh, yeah.
Come on. How many of it we can think, and we like the life of the mind is amazing. I don't need a note, I don't need a cue, I don't need a lyric. It's just in you, right? Like you remember stuff. Some of you that wrote down that logo, now look at the back of your phone and see how close were you really to drawing the Apple logo. This was a study that was done by the University of Los Angeles, and they did this study, and they were looking how many people you see this logo all day, every day, yet you probably haven't put it to memory. They put the bite of the apple on the wrong side. They put two leaves instead of one. Everybody, look, anybody get close? Does it look terrible? Jeff, you got it. Carrot, you got a pretty good one. That's pretty good. Yep, that's pretty good. Okay, Carol. So some of you did. But here's the deal. Here's what they say is we only retain the information that we think is necessary. What's amazing about the life of the mind, it's an incredible processor of information, but it's a pretty terrible storage unit. We just forget. That's why I encourage people to take notes. I've heard it said that a short pencil is better than a long memory. So utilizing systems to write and to put things down that will help me remember, because believe it or not, we store stuff in here that ultimately doesn't matter. And then we don't even care about putting disciplines into our mind to really remember the things that do matter and that put some life inside of me and that work as a GPS for my life to really get my life in the right direction. Or as King David would write in Psalm chapter 119, and he would write that I have hidden your word in my heart so that I may not sin against you, that I would know who you are, that I would not be tricked or deceived, that I would know the directions that I need to go in life. And so where we want to go this morning is talking about the life of the mind. A friend of mine recently, he works for Youth for Christ in Nashville, Tennessee, and he told me this story. He said, this morning I was heading into the Waffle House when a man outside, I believe that he was a homeless man, he asked me, hey, you know where I could get a Bible for a couple of dollars? And he was holding $3 in his hand. I replied, I have a Bible in my car, and you can have it. So when I went back to my car and pulled out the Bible that I read while waiting to pick up my grandkids at school, I handed it to that man. He began to cry loudly, saying, thank you, thank you. And as I told him to keep his money for food, the man started to recite somewhere between 7 and 12 verses from the Bible that he had memorized while holding the Bible in his left hand and raising his right hand in the air. We had a conversation for about 10 minutes, and I prayed with him before going inside of the Waffle House. It seems to me, myself mostly, that we've lost the fundamental idea of memorizing things. Names of people, addresses, phone numbers, and more importantly, the scriptures. Part of that is due to the fact that we hold this little machine inside of our pocket. I don't need to remember anything because this thing will tell me everything. Does anybody remember the days before you had GPS in your pocket where you had to go like gas station to gas station and ask for directions? It was way more engaging. It took a lot longer, but it was way more engaging. You'd pull in, you're saying, hey, I'm trying to get to wherever, to Kansas City. Do you know how I get there? Yeah, you need to go here, you need to turn here, you need to go. Hey, I'm just trying to get over here to this spot in wherever, Peru. Yep, you need to go here and you need to turn there. And I will remember sometimes not having any sense of direction, and I would just gas station to gas station. Hey, I just made it this next block. Can you tell me where I need to go next? Constantly just kind of checking in, and we would have to do that. You'd have to engage real life people. But we don't have to remember names, phone numbers. I can still remember a lot of phone numbers from as a kid. Anybody still remember your home number, some of your buddies' phone numbers? But now, I couldn't even tell you. I mean, people in my family that have phones, I don't even know their numbers. Nor do we need to. Addresses. Even things like in history, like when was the Louisiana Purchase? I don't care. But I have this. Hey, Siri. When was the Louisiana Purchase? 1803. Got it. Isn't that fascinating? Because I can quickly get information in other places. And so, perhaps we even take that approach to the Lord. Don't really need to know it. If I need to, I'll check in with you later, God. It's not a discipline that I really need to know and to drive down deep inside of my heart. Right now, my kids are going through these math tables. Anybody remember the multiplication tables? We've got this picture. I want to show you a picture of the multiplication tables. Does that just bring back terrible memories for anyone? You're like, oh man, I'm like reliving some pain right here. And multiplication tables, we'll go out to lunch. And maybe the kids will they'll get the kids menu, and on the back they'll be like, Dad, write out all of these like multiplication problems so I can work on them. And I'm like, you're weird. Like, why? That's just weird. But they would like they want to work on these problems. Now we don't need to. Alexa, what's 17 times 34? And then she'll give you the thing. It's quick. It's fast. Just recently, Ronnie had a problem where it was 7 plus 5, and she put 12. And got it wrong because she didn't show her work. Now the new math is you have to do 7 minus 2 to get to 5. Now we have 2 fives, and we want to go in variables of 10. So now we have 10. Then you add the 2 back after you get 10, and now it's 12. It's like you got to do this gymnastics with the numbers in order to even get there. And I was like, whatever happened to just memorizing? Like, just remember, it's 12, right? Well, we don't memorize. And then what happens in our life is we have to do all of this gymnastics and trickery to try to get through stuff. And here's where I want to go, is the life of the mind is pretty incredible when it bows and bends before the maker of it. And it says, God, I don't want to pollute my mind with things that don't matter. Because we have such mental exhaustion and brain fatigue that to think upon deeper things and to have my mind expanded by the glory of the Lord, I just don't have capacity. I don't have space, nor do I even really have a desire because there's so much other polluted thinking inside of this where my mind, it just dwells on perversion and anger and bitterness and frustration. That to really have mental space and capacity to like just sit in the presence of the Lord with his holy scriptures and to be disciplined to put them to memory is just so far beyond me. And it's so far from even a desire inside of my heart. In Matthew chapter 4 and in Luke chapter 4, both we see this passage of scripture where Jesus is getting tested by Satan. And he takes him out into the desert, out into the wilderness. And he starts just taking him to task. And questioning his identity and who are you? And if you want to be awesome, you want to be God, then you'll bow and bend before me. And let me take you to the highest mountain and you can have all of this stuff. And he takes Jesus kind of on this journey. And Jesus' response is scripture. He goes, yeah, but what the word says. Yeah, but what the scriptures say. Yeah, but this is what God says. And whenever we get tested and we get squeezed, wouldn't it be great to have the greatest resource of life and substance and sustenance right at your fingertips? Where you say, but this is who God says about me. This is the man of God I am. Am I tempted by this thing? Yeah, but am I going to indulge? No, because I know that there's a greater promise before the Lord that he gives to me, and I start walking down these paths because my mind is full of the word of God and the promises of God that he's committed to me. In Psalm, David, he writes over and over, I have hidden your word in my heart that I may not sin against you. I praise you, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. I have recited all aloud the regulations that you have given to us. That's Psalm 119. In Proverbs 3, verse 1, it says, my child, never forget the things that I have taught you. Store my commands in your heart. You know, because of Google and because of Siri, instead of trashing that, oh, sorry, Siri, stop it. Go away. Thank you. I still love you, girl. Because of these luxuries that we have, instead of trashing on them, we can say, because of them, they've actually now freed up my mind. I got a lot of storage space up here because I don't have to remember anything. What if I maxed out the storage space for the glory of God? God, would you take my mind that I would write it on the tablet of my heart, that I would know you, O God, my Redeemer and my Helper, that I would put these things to memory, that I would be disciplined in my pursuit of you. In Philippians 4, verse 8, it says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. Let us put these things to memory. Alyssa, right now, she's reading this book called Walking in the Dust of Rabbi Jesus. And in here, this guy tells a story. And he tells this story of right after World War II. It's 1945. And Jewish children had been taken, and they're kind of spread all over the place. And this rabbi has a desire to reunite Jewish Hebrew kids back with their families. And he goes, how in the world am I possibly going to know the difference between them if I have to sit down and interview every single one of them? The task seems like a monstrous task to go to these child camps and have to go through all of them. What's going to be the hack? What's going to be the thing that breaks me through so that I can get to them? In 1945, Rabbi Eleazar Silver headed up the search for thousands of displaced Jewish children across Europe. They had been given from the clutches of the Nazis on farms and in convents and monasteries, and now he sought to return them to their families, if at all possible. The rabbi had a promising lead with a report that the monastery in southern France had taken in Jewish children. But the priest in charge was of little help, declaring that to his knowledge, all of the children were Christians, and Rabbi Silver could produce no record. Names like Schwartz, Kaufman, Schneider, these names seemed obviously German, but could they be Jewish, or were they Gentile? He scanned their small faces. Many had lived there since they were toddlers. How could he know if any of them were a part of Jewish families? He asked if he could visit the wards. In front of the children, he had an idea. And he began to sing in Hebrew, Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, which means, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. A handful of faces lit up, and tiny voices from around the room joined in. They recognized these ancient words from their bedtime prayers and from their earliest memories of their mothers and their fathers reciting them each morning and every evening during their own prayers. These six words begin with Shema, meaning, from the scriptures repeated twice daily to remind the Jewish person of his or her commitment to the Lord. Jesus likely learned these early prayers on Joseph's knee when he was a youngster too. You know, there's just something about the rest of the world, it seems like, that would be willing to commit from the days of their youth to put the word of God in their heads and in their hearts, sitting on mom and dad's knee, learning about who God is. Now, more and more, we hand them a screen and say, go watch TikTok and come see me when you're 18, and we'll show up to graduation. And man, is it a bummer to watch a generation get discipled by TikTok and not get sat down and learn the Holy Scriptures at a young age. King David said, from the days of my youth, I've sought you, O God. And I know you, my hope and my redeemer. Man, that we would know him. And young parents, I want to encourage you that we would teach the word of God to our young people. Grandparents, if you get a shot at them, man, take the time and to teach them the word of God. And to write them letters laden with scripture, that they would know this stuff. They would hide it upon the tablets of their hearts. They would know who God is. That it would be a discipline. The life of the mind is an incredible thing. And let's not pollute it with stuff that doesn't matter. I just wonder if, perhaps, if this is true, I don't memorize things that I don't care about. If that would be true of the Word of God. I don't really memorize the things that really don't matter. And God forbid that that would be the testimony of our lives. Not that we would ever say that, but in our daily disciplined decisions, it might prove that. That it really just doesn't matter if I memorize the Word of God. Last night, I took the kids to the gym and we were playing basketball, and Judah's playing, he's running around shooting, Ronnie's kind of playing, and she's halfway shooting and halfway just like kicking it. And Nora just walks over by herself, and she's laying down. And I walk over to Nora, and I was shooting around close to Nora, and Nora reached out to me. She goes, Dad, did you just call my name? And I go, no. She goes, I heard somebody say, Nora. I go, it wasn't me. She goes, oh, okay. And she goes back to laying down. She's laying on her back and she's looking up at the gym ceiling. Nora has this open vision of the Lord. And the ceiling tiles begin to move and Jesus descends. She sees Jesus coming down and standing right next to her. And she goes, Dad, I just saw Jesus, and she's calling me over. That must have been who called my name. It was Jesus. I go, what? Are you kidding me? Like, what was? She goes, he's got brown hair. He's got a brown beard. He has white just coming off of him everywhere. He's, like, really bright. And he has this red thing, like, around his shoulder that wraps around him. I'm like, oh, my gosh. Like, she's got detail about this. I go, was he talking to you? What did he say? And Nora, all the time, she prays that she would be healed. That's always her prayer. God, would you just touch my body? Would you heal me? Would you make me healthy? Kind of with an F in there. Would you make me healthy in there? And she's always praying that prayer. And Jesus comes in. And Jesus says, Nora, I'm going to heal you, but I'm also going to heal and take care of a lot of other people as well. And that we're kind of like all in this thing together, okay? And she's having this encounter with the Lord. And I come over to her, and I'm like trying to play with her, and I don't even know that she's having this encounter moment. I come over, I'm kind of playing, and she's like tears in her eyes. And she begins to have this moment where she's explaining this. And here's what's so cool, is I go to this scripture in 1 Samuel chapter 3, and I begin to explain it to Nora. Like, Nora, this very thing happened in the Bible. And so Ronnie comes over to Nora, and he's like, yes, I've heard of this story. And Samuel, who was from the mother of Hannah, who said, I'll dedicate my child. If God, you would just give me a child, and she's barren, and she's not healthy, if you will. Like, Nora's just crying out for this health, and Hannah was crying out to have a child, and she's not getting it, and she's just crying out and crying out and crying out, and she says, God, I'll give you this child. And so she gets pregnant, and she's got to give it up, and she gives it back to the temple of God, and she's raised with Eli, and Eli is sleeping one night, and Samuel hears this this voice that says, Samuel. And Samuel wakes up, and he runs, and he's like, Eli, did you call my name? Same thing with Nora. Dad, did you call my name? I'm like, no. And Eli's like, no, I'm not, kid. Go back to sleep. So he goes back to sleep, and he hears his name called again, and he runs to Eli. Eli, did you call my name? He's like, no, I didn't. Eli, did you call my name? It happens a third time, and he goes, if it happens, it's probably the voice of the Lord, and your response should be, here I am. Your servant listens. Speak, for your servant listens. So I begin to unpack this thing with Nora. I'm like, Nora, here's what the Bible says, and here's what we need to do, and we're just going to say, God, I'm just your servant. I'll do whatever that you say, and I just want my heart to be ready. Then she begins to ask deeper questions. Isn't it great, first of all, that we can know the Bible and coach her heart about what's happening and what's going on? Then she begins to ask these questions. She's asking, if God can heal me, why won't he? So I'm like getting wiped out again. I'm like, okay, Jesus, it's going to require the best of me. And I need to go into your word. And how many of y'all, you've had questions, and it's usually the kids that ask questions that you don't have any answers for, and you feel like an idiot sitting before a four-year-old, and you're like, I don't know, man. Wouldn't it be great if we were equipped and we just knew the word of God? And so she begins to ask me these tough questions. And so I'm unpacking this for her, and I said, Nora, ultimately what Jesus wants is not for you to be healed, not for you to have a comfortable lifestyle, not for everything just to always be all good and peaches and cream. Ultimately, what Jesus is after is he wants worship from people. He wants maximum glory for himself. He wants us to worship him, to praise him, whether life is good or not, to always have a heart full of trust for him and to come into this place of worship. And Nora, he's not like a genie in the bottle. And you just rub the bottle and he comes out and he gives you three wishes. You're healed. You got $1 million. Everything's going to go well. What if he actually promises the opposite? Life will be hard and it will be full of challenges. And you will have trials and tribulations of your faith. It's going to be tough. But lo, I am with you, even until the end, and I will strengthen you, and I will build you up, and I'm committed to you. I'm in it. I'm in it with you. So come on, let's go. I'm just not going to free you from all of the hardships. I'm just going to walk with you in them. I'm in the fire with you. It's like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I just want to be in there with you. If you just let me, come on, let's do it. This morning we come over and I'm getting stuff set up. And Nora's sitting in this fourth row. Jeff, she's sitting right there. She's by herself. And Pastor Andrew comes in. And Pastor Andrew sits where Ramonda is. And they have a little cool talk and conversation. And Nora's explaining this vision that she had of Jesus last night. So I come in and I sit. And Pastor Andrew moves on. He's getting stuff ready. And Nora and I, we have this incredible conversation this morning. And we talk about when we go into our kitchen and we'll stand Nora up on the countertop and we'll do a trust fall. And man, do we like those and hate those all at the same time. And we're all giddy and we're all excited and we're like, oh my gosh, I don't know about this. And so she'll stand there and she'll lean back and I'll catch her about right here. And she's like, that was a lot. That was a lot, Dad. And then I'll catch her like maybe down here. And she's like, I'm kind of freaking out a little bit. And then I'll even get down farther and I'll catch her. Thank God she weighs, you know, like a feather and I can catch her. And so she'll do these things. And as she's falling down and as she goes, Dad, but isn't it funny? Like whenever you just kind of catch me right here, I just kind of go like this. I said, yeah, do you need any trust in me if you just do that? She goes, not a lot. Do you need more trust in me if you go backwards? Yeah, a little bit more. Do you need a lot more trust in me if you go all the way back? She's like, yes, I don't really trust that you're going to catch me. I don't really know. I'm freaking out a little bit. It's like, isn't it funny that also with our Father, we just got to have a lot more trust that he's good. We just got to trust him. Jesus, I'm just not seeing it. I'm not seeing the breakthrough. I don't know if I trust you. And he wants to strengthen our faith, Nora. He wants to build up our trust in him. He wants to strengthen our muscles. And you know what? He doesn't just make everything so easy. What kind of faith would that be? What kind of trust would we have? But man, does he like put us to the test sometimes? And then he comes in and he delivers us. And so she goes, okay, let's do it. Let's do the trust fall. So she stands right there where Jeff, where your arm is. And she stands right there and I catch her. And she goes, ha. And then we do it again. I'm like, ha. I'm like, isn't it fun? She's like, yeah, kinda. This is kind of fun. But isn't it different when it's real life and it's health and it's relationships and it's tension and it's all this kind of funky stuff? If we could just trust that God is good. He's just good. And not that he's playing with your health to kind of mess you up and thinks that it's funny, but he's just going to prove himself that he's there. And she's like, okay, go a little bit farther. And I get on my knees to catch her, and she freaks out. Ah! And I catch her, and she's like, that was scary. I go, I know, but I got you. And I set her on the ground, and she just hugs me, and we're right here in the aisle, and we begin to dance. I said, Nora, I got you. I got you, buddy. I'm with you. And nothing has changed. Still not healthy, but I'm here. I'm with you. And she's crying. She goes, I'm so glad I didn't wear mascara this morning. I said, I am too. I'm with you. I'll tell you, when we know God, when we know him, we can coach and encourage and speak life into and pull scripture and tell stories and have hearts come alive when we know him. Rather than, good question, buddy, I don't know. Actually, maybe God's not good. I don't know. We should know him. Psalm chapter 119. Starting in verse 1. It only has 176 verses, okay? So hold tight. I'm just kidding. I'm not kidding. It does have that many, but we're not going to read that many. Verse 1. Blessed are those who are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his statutes and seek him with all of their heart. They do no wrong, but they follow his ways. You have laid down precepts that are to be fully obeyed. Oh, that my ways were steadfast in obeying your decrees. Exclamation point. Some passion, some energies. Man, that my ways were steadfast, that I would obey your decrees. Then I would not be put to shame when I consider all of your commands. I will praise you with an upright heart as I learn your righteous laws. I will obey your decrees. Do not utterly forsake me. How can a young person stay on a path of purity? By living according to your word. I seek you with all of my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I may not sin against you. Praise be to the Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips, I recount all of the laws that came from your mouth. I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and I consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. You know, if I can live my life based upon the principles of the word of God, 90% of my decisions are already made for me. You might have to make the decision, do I wear the red shirt or the blue shirt? That might be up to you to make decisions. But the Bible gives us incredible insight on how this life should be lived. And if we knew it, we would have a framework. We would have an idea. And you know what? I just pollute my mind with, I have memorized when the Colts game is. I have memorized the names of the players and their numbers. I have memorized the stats. I have memorized all of this stuff. That doesn't matter. And it's actually kind of embarrassing. I know all of it. But I don't know Psalm 24. That the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And to know him, that he would speak to me, that he would enlighten the mind and the eyes of my understanding, that I would discipline my mind to know the God who created it. Okay, let's move into some really practical ways. What do I do? Okay, maybe we don't memorize everything. How many of y'all are like me and you cheat sometimes if you forget somebody's name, but you remember their face, and you hop on Facebook real quick and you type in every name you possibly can think of until you finally find that face? Or I know them, but I know their spouse, so you hit information real quick, and who did you marry? And you're like, ah, you didn't update that one. And we have like these systems that help trigger memories. One of the things that TLC, what I would do is like an employee appreciation stuff, would look up like the dates of hire and do like anniversary dates. Like, I can't remember all of that. You can't remember all of the Bible, right? But what are some systems that you put in place that remember? Oh, it's this person's birthday. It's this person's anniversary. It's here's the word of God that I need to remember. Here's some great systems. The Bible app is an incredible app that I would love for everybody to be able to download. Every day, it sends you a notification, pops up right there, the scripture of the day. It also can track how many days consecutively you have been in the Bible, and it's encouraging. Like, I've been in the Bible 17 straight days. I've been in the Bible 73 straight days, and it keeps track, and it encourages you along the way. Here's another one. This is a very practical one. To read the Bible through in a year, or to listen to it if you're on the road a lot, that you can listen to the Bible. You can just go to YouTube and the Bible is read to you. It doesn't get any easier. But to listen to it, anybody that goes through the Bible this year, either through reading it or through listening to the scriptures, we are going to do a big time celebration because we want everybody to be people of the Word of God. How about a church that would be committed to knowing God through His Holy Scriptures? Come on, we're unshakable at that point. We're not tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. We're not tricked by false teachers and all this sort of stuff. We know God. We know Him. Anybody that goes to the Bible this year, we want to celebrate big time at the end of the year with a dinner and take you out to dinner and take as many people. I want to see 50, 100 people go out to dinner. We've done this a couple times with our men's group, and we'll end up having 6 or 8 guys, and we all go out to dinner, we all get a big old steak, and we just eat, and we have a great time. It is awesome, okay? But I want those 6 or 8 to be 60 or 80, okay? That's where we want to move this thing to, that we would be a church that lives in the Bible, and that we would commit it to memory. So, today, I choose to memorize the Word of God, to know what He says about Himself and what He says about me. Today, I will put away the small things of this world that trip me up and try to destroy the life of my mind so that I have capacity to dwell upon those things which matter most. Let's clear the headspace. Let's dwell upon the Word of God. And let's know Him. Let's disciple our kids and grandkids that they would know Jesus through the word of the Lord. Amen. I'm going to pray for us and we'll get out of here. Jesus, we thank You that You wrote us a letter. You wrote us this incredible word of God. God, I pray that we as a house would be disciplined enough to sit our butt in that chair and to study the word of God. That we would know You. That we would put it to memory. That we would dwell upon the things that matter most. God, I pray that we would be disciplined enough to put away the little games and the little apps and the little videos and watching everybody else live their life, but that we would be disciplined enough to pursue a holy God who loves us. Help us, Jesus. We need a lot of help, but help us in the life of our mind by the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Grateful you were with us today. Be sure to subscribe and rate us so other people can know about the podcast. Join us on a Sunday morning in Fairmount or find our live stream on YouTube, our website, fairmountfriends.church, or our church app on Tithely. See you soon.